sanity for a change. The Rick Smith Show.
I'm looking for just a little sanity. That's all. Just a little common sense, a little rational thought. You know, just, I don't know. Maybe I ask for too much. Maybe I ask for a little bit too much from our political leaders. I don't know. But you'd think, just on the top of your head, you would think that if you're the chairman of a committee that you're not going to shut someone's the other party's head guy, you're not going to shut him out. At least not in the way that Daryl Issa did. It's just absolutely mind blowing. But again, I mean, you look at the people doing it, and I guess it's not surprising. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about that, and also, you know, the big announcement with the Obamacare. I guess a 2-year grace period for the non Obamacare plans, and so much more around that. I've got Bob Wiener. He is a Democratic strategist. Also spent some time in the Clinton White House. And one of the senior aides during the Clinton years. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
It's a pleasure, Rick, and I love doing your show because of the fact that you bring sanity to these issues. It's unbelievable when you see my old committee, where I was a spokesman before I went to the White House, the House Government Operations, now called Government Reform Committee, with a chairman who just shuts down the mic against the opposition, shuts down the mic against the minority. How do you do that? I mean, as Cummings said, this is America.
And not just shut it down, was actually, if you watch the video, was actually mocking Elijah Cummings as he's shutting the microphone off on him.
Well, Cummings has scored properly on this one, and Issa will forever now be the McCarthy of our era in terms of what Cummings called a one-sided investigation. I just am dumbfounded. Having been the spokesman for that committee, having helped run it for 6 years, we allowed the rules to take place, which is the minority is entitled not only to speak for 5 minutes after the opening statement by the chairman, but he also can bring in his own witnesses. That's what the minority is allowed to do. That's called fair play. Issa just wants to have this cherry-picked investigation where he forgets that liberal groups were also targeted. He forgets what Lawrence O'Donnell, who's a brilliant legislative strategist, having been a staffer himself on the Hill, points out, that the law says that it must be exclusively social welfare, not primarily, and that's what the investigation should be going after, is the fact that, I hate to be wonky here, but Eisenhower's people in 1959 changed the law unilaterally by regulation to say primarily and allowed these non-social welfare groups to get political nonprofit status. It is illegal, and yet that is what the law is allowing to happen.
Now, I mean, I look at this, and you know, the reality is, in my view, we shouldn't be giving any of these groups tax-exempt status. Pay your taxes like everybody else, especially if we're broke. If we're broke. I mean, I keep hearing this message, we're broke, we can't afford it, but yet you've got the Republicans now running around going, oh, we should give these tax breaks away. I'm going, it's insane.
Let me do a little education, too, for our listeners, too, because Eleanor Holmes Norton, who's on the committee, got it right. What Cummings was talking about today, when you see that clip, was that if Issa, the chair of the Republican, had given a proffer to Lois Lerner, a proffer of immunity, she would have spoken and spilled the beans on everything she did. But because Cummings was not willing to do that, she took the Fifth Amendment.
You mean Issa?
She has every right to. Lois Lerner has every right to take the Fifth Amendment.
Yep.
And in fact, if you know in advance that a witness is going to take the Fifth Amendment in a legislative hearing, you must allow that, or you are subject to an ethics discipline from the D.C. bar. I'm hopeful that now Lois Lerner and Cummings go after Issa and get him ethically barred by the D.C. bar. That is a strategy they could actually do.
Well, good. That sounds like something that needs to be done. Here's a guy who honestly should not be the chairman of any of the dog catching committee, let alone one of the most powerful ones in our government.
Well, I'd invite our listeners, Rick. About 6 months ago, I did a piece in the Baltimore Sun, Cummings, Obama's defender in chief, on and against Issa, on what the IRS, on Benghazi, all the investigations, Fast and Furious, Solyndra. I mean, Solyndra. So one company screwed up. Things happen. It's not a federal a huge thing. I mean, 99% of the money went to good groups. And ISIS said that in the beginning he would do a whole bunch of investigations, which could have given something positive. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac abuses, corruption in Afghanistan, Food and Drug Administration recalls, the financial crisis, what was the cause of the financial meltdown. He didn't do any of that. Those would have been actually good investigations, the kind of which we did when I was the spokesman for the committee, and we went after the Patriot missile, Star Wars, defense systems, and we found $500 billion, half a trillion dollars in corruption and abuse by federal programs. That's what you should do on the Government Reform, Government Operations Committee. But ISA has done none of that. All he's done is find no scandals, but while he's looking for scandals. He's a scandal in search of a scandal.
Yeah, but all the stuff that you said were positive and things he should be doing, that doesn't get you on TV. That doesn't get you on the evening news. That doesn't get you on fake news on Fox. That doesn't help your star any, though, Bob. Come on.
The cause of the financial crisis, the country had the worst recession since the Great Depression, that's a pretty sexy issue. The cause of the financial meltdown, and if you do it in a bipartisan way, why'd you give all the money to the banks and the big businesses instead of the American people and create jobs?
Yeah,
of course,
yeah.
That would have been the Democratic side. That wouldn't have been ISIS side.
Yeah,
but that's another piece of that. There is a lot in that financial scandal that could be sexy and important for us, that the Government Operations Committee could make an enormous... But meanwhile, he's wasted so much money. Do you know that IRS has 150 people doing nothing but providing documents to ISA?
Yeah.
That's 150 people that are doing nothing but wasting our tax dollars.
And I'm with you, but at the end of it, that's what the Republicans want to do. They want to tie government up, and so it can't function. So they can go, see, look, doesn't work. And to your point on why they didn't go after Wall Street, because and I agree with you. There is a lot of sexy stuff there. There's a lot of opportunity to get your name. The problem is understand, you do know ICE is the richest man in Congress.
Yes.
You do
right.
know that a lot
Insurance
of the people
guy.
he would probably be locking up would be country club buddies. You can't, country club buddies don't lock
right.
each other up.
Well, that's why no executives, other than I think one Enron guy, have gone to jail at all on this financial scandal. It is totally outrageous.
And look, he's a little loose on the moral anyway. I guess I'm going to use the alleged, he's an alleged car thief, so nothing surprises
yeah.
me.
Well, then you got Rick Scott, who's the governor of Florida, who is more than an alleged embezzler. Yep. His company had the largest embezzlement in the history of health care, and then he got elected governor of Florida. How does that stuff happen?
Lots and lots of money. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're Bob Wiener, National Democratic Strategist, columnist for major newspapers, was also a senior aide during the Clinton years.
Yeah.
Bob, you brought up the Affordable Care Act and Obama, and I got to be honest with you. I think this has been a cluster from the beginning. This should have been so much easier because the American people wanted health care reform. They wanted something. But they didn't want this. They didn't want all of these convoluted messages, all of these, all of the website, the delays, all of this stuff. I think there's so many easier ways to have done this. But this is what we.
It would have been easy. That was Hillary. She was public option in the election. So
yep.
now we got her back. But we're stuck with Obamacare because at least it doesn't give you the best paying process, but at least it gives you an expansion of the benefits to people who desperately need them and didn't have them, and it stops the block against pre-existing conditions, and it puts your kids on the plans, and it has an 80% requirement that has to go for benefits. So the hidden gem has been the $2 billion that the American people got back in rebate checks that their insurance companies are taking credit for, but are because of the Obama law, and it never says that.
Now, make
so there's
sure,
a lot of good that's happened out of this bill.
Make sure you reiterate that, because that's, to me, the important part. That 80 cents out of every dollar that
right.
we pay in health care premiums actually has to go to health care. To me, that's huge.
But they have blown it, Rick. How they did not have some big computer exec running the website in the first place so that they knew what they were talking about is unbelievable. How we blew the 10% advantage that we got out of the Republicans self-destructive action on the shutdown
yeah.
that we were ready to take the Congress. And I was running around talking to the chairs like Conyers and all of that would have been chairs and Steny Hoyer and the leadership. And we were all excited because it was the Republicans really know how to screw themselves. And then what did we do? But a week later, we turned that 10 to a 20 reversal. So now we're 10 behind in the generic because of the Obama website. It is unbelievable how we shafted ourselves by doing that. And that has been what stuck because the Republicans are so good at negative press.
Oh, yeah.
We have not capitalized on the shutdown the way that they did on the negative press on the website, which, by the way, is working now.
Yeah, I mean, it's working now. And again, my take on it from the beginning was this is what you get when you have mass privatization. When you have 55 for-profit corporations all with their fingers in pieces and parts of it, this is what you get instead of having one.
Yeah. And then the other thing, I've got a piece in today's Palm Beach Post. It's a commentary. Obama needs a new health plea for youth as March 31 deadline approaches. And just go Google Palm Beach Post health plea. Youth, and it'll come up. And
don't need to Google it. Got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Bob Weiner's name. Take you right to it.
But the point of the thing is that we have blown that message. We've been talking about, and the president had a youth summit. He talked about personal responsibility, and you're going to make everybody else pay for your health care. That's not what turns kids on.
Nope.
Talk to kids about the fact that if you go bankrupt, you're shafted for life on your reputation, and that half of all bankruptcies are health care. And there are 344,000 bankruptcies for kids under, youth under 34 because of health care, that there are 500,000 cases of diabetes, that cancer is the fourth leading killer of kids, that preventive care against, I can't even pronounce it, atherosclerosis, anyway, plaque buildup in your arteries, that younger people have the highest risk of car accidents. If you talk about protecting against those and the fact that you can protect yourself for life, then you got a reason. Remember, Rick, how young people ended the Vietnam War, got Lyndon Johnson to withdraw, eventually got us out of Vietnam because they had a personal investment in not getting drafted and killed in a war that was a civil war that, by the way, McDonald's are now in Vietnam, and it's a communist country, and so what? We're doing business with them.
And Nike makes all of our shoes.
Anything. You know, so, you know, kids ended that war over there because what the heck were we fighting for and killing ourselves? And that's the investment that kids need to feel in getting health care, that it's for them, that they get the bennies from it. Then you get them to sign up and also point out that the deadline is March 31st, so the kids think that it's like the term paper you got to write at the last minute. Now it's time to sign up, which is what happened with Romney Care in Massachusetts. 94% of kids have signed up. So, you know, we've got to do a much better job than what Obama has done on that message. So that's my piece in today's Palm Beach Post.
And are anyone taking that to heart? Because, look, at the end of it, you're right. It's all about self-interest. You know, you can think about the common good and they have those lofty goals. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, how is it going to benefit? How is it going to affect? What's in it for me?
And it's supposed to be in it for you. It's supposed to give you all those benefits that you wouldn't have had otherwise. The pre-existing conditions and so forth, and the lifetime and the preventive care and all the things. And by the way, it's cheaper. When you talked about Obama extending again because the Republicans whined, if you want your health care, you can keep it. We didn't mean that if you have a crappy health care policy, you can keep it, because we expanded these benefits and made the requirements that it has all those provisions I just ticked off. That's what's supposed to be in it for you. And by the way, if you go for that, all these people they've interviewed on Fox have said it's much more expensive. It's because they didn't look for the cheaper policy that now exists. And then when MSNBC does the research, they find the cheaper policies that are half the price of the ones that people are complaining about. So that's – but to allow people to have these crappy policies, I'm against that. I'm against the extension.
Yep.
And the only reason – that Obama is allowing that is because of the whining of the Republicans about the fact that if you want your keep your policy, you can keep it. And so he's letting them do it because of political pressure. It's too bad, actually.
I'm right there with you. I think it's an absolute shame. And again, you know, when you hear the statements coming out that Obama's weak, I mean, one of my problems with him, right from the beginning, I thought he was doing the right thing. He was out there giving press conferences. He was doing evening from the Oval Office statements and stuff. I thought from the beginning he got rabbit ears. You know, the Republicans say, oh, you can't blame Bush for everything. And then he stopped.
Right. Well, he's not perfect. He's a zillion times better, you know, than what we would have had. God knows.
That's true.
But this NSA spying, Rick, and I mean, I'm really glad that Snowden came out with this stuff.
Me too.
It's totally a violation of the privacy. When I'm at the White House and I'm cleared in because of the op-eds and the radio TV that I do, so, you know, I talk with the White House reporters, they're livid about the violations of the privacy and the phone tapping, the phone lists that they go after. It's not the tapping of the calls. Obama makes the point that it's not the content, it's just the people. That's
the
terrible
content.
Part. Who wants, every newspaper reporter in the White House press room says, I don't want him knowing who my sources are.
Yeah.
And that's what opens up. And do you really want everybody to know if you're single who all your girlfriends are or who all your boyfriends are, or, you know, depending on whatever people are these
whatever
days.
Whatever you're into, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, do you really want everybody to be able to have it that?
But Bob, if you're not doing anything wrong.
But you know what? What they have stopped advertising is that the national security staffers have investigated each other's boyfriends, girlfriends, and spouses. They actually went after that. So don't tell me that there's no foul play by the people that are in charge.
Of
Obama says,
is.
You know, well, we're not going to do it. Well, his people have done that kind of stuff.
And so have Bush's people. I mean, this isn't Obama's baby. I mean, it's easy to lay it at his feet because he's allowed it to continue from the Bush years. And over the summer, we did a cross-country labor history tour that took us to the Bush Library, where we got to see the...
Oh, wow, you went there.
Oh, yeah, we got to see... we had a nice interview with the guy who's the head there. They took us to the Situation Room.
Did he know where you were coming from?
Not until we sat down. but, you know, he took us to the Situation Room. We got to sit in the old Situation Room, and we got to go through the whole tour where there was a spot that said, you know, all of these enhanced surveillance techniques, exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. Bush was touting in his library.
And torture.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't the water. There wasn't the waterboard room there, but there was the decider room. I got to be the decider for a couple of minutes.
I'm very much looking forward to Rachel's show about what the Iraq War was really about, which is coming out tomorrow. It was about Bush's daddy and about oil that was going to pay for itself, and we were going to make tons of money from it. That's what the Iraq War was about. But it was just such a fraud and false pretenses, and obviously none of that happened. And we were stuck there, and the numbers are $5 trillion between the two wars. That's what we've lost out of getting nothing out of Iraq and Afghanistan. We're about to leave Afghanistan with absolutely nothing and the place in sham and a president who won't do anything for us anymore, and that's still the number one drug country in the world, number one heroin country.
And
we've accomplished nothing over there.
And we still don't have money to fund education. Last question I've got for you then, since you brought up the goings-on globally. I look at what's going on in Crimea and over there, and you know, I look at someone like Lindsey Graham who says it's all because of Benghazi. Could any president have stopped Putin from going in there? I mean, would Clinton have rushed us into war? Do you think even George W. Bush, who looked into Putin's soul, do you think he could have stopped him?
I don't think anybody can stop Putin, but I'm very impressed with the two RT TV people, one of whom resigned and one of whom announced that they were opposed to Putin's propaganda, right on their own state-paid television that plays in the English language world.
Right.
Very impressive that's going on. I think that there's pressure against Putin. I think that the world pressure is actually causing him to back up a little bit. He realizes that the propaganda that he has been putting out there is not working. But the other side of that, Rick, and nobody wants to say it, is that the majority of people in Crimea ally themselves with Russia and want Putin, and they want to be part of the Russian community. And so there's propaganda on our side, too.
Right.
And you have to look at the Crimean situation with clear eyes about the fact that that Russia has a base there.
A naval base, right.
That's correct. And that that there was a threat to take Russia's base away by the new government, and that's when Putin got his dander up. So there's back and forth on this one. We don't want Putin invading, but we also have to recognize that ain't our part of the world. That is his part of the world.
Thanks for saying that, because I agree with you. We talked to an expert last night, though, who said, you know, the people there, his view was, you know, they wanted their independence, but they are culturally, language-wise, they're Russian. But the feel that I got from a couple of people is that they still wanted to stay Ukraine, the country of Ukraine, and not to be Russian. But
that
we'll see.
That may be true for all but Crimea. I'm not convinced that's true in Crimea. They may actually, in Crimea, vote to go independent, and I don't know where that takes us.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But Bob, it was great talking with you. I appreciate you.
Yep.
I appreciate you giving us some time.
You too, Rick. It's always a real pleasure. Love talking with you.
I appreciate it. Our good friend, Bob Wiener, Democratic strategist, national columnist, also former Clinton White House senior aide. Quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Controversial, thought-provoking, opinionated. Rick Smith.